Hey, what's up, guys? It's Jordan with the Laundromat Resource Podcast. This is show 150, and I'm pumped you're here today because today we've got Jose on the show, who is a this guy's awesome. We have been trying to coordinate this thing for a while. We finally nailed it down. Totally worth the wait. Awesome interview. We go into a whole bunch of stuff, including some of the places he's gone to get information and to learn about this industry and how to grow his businesses. We talk about how he demoed different software systems. We talked about card systems. We talked about free drive. We go through the whole gambit of stuff, and it's an incredible episode. Cannot wait for you to hear it. So look forward to that. Real quick, I want to get to today's fast lane tip, which I've been slacking on, by the way. Fast lane tips are, here's some way that you can jump in the fast lane to help you achieve whatever success looks like for you in this industry, whether it's buying a laundromat or growing your laundromat business, scaling, whatever that is. And it's just a tip on a way that you can utilize Laundromat Resource to help you get there. And today's fast lane tip is, we've got another mastermind induction group coming up on April 10th at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern time. If you're interested in joining a mastermind group, that is included in the Laundromat Resource Pro community. So check out laundromatresource.com/pro. to join the pro community, and you get access to a mastermind group. That's a group of, four or five of you who will get together on a consistent basis to help jump to the next level, whatever that looks like for you, buying your first laundromat or growing your business, thinking about new creative ideas on how to grow your business, sharing the issues you have and troubleshooting together, encouraging each other. This journey can be very discouraging. Some of you guys may have found that out by now. And having a group of people that you meet with regularly to share those discouragements and to offer support and problem solving, but also to just encourage you to keep going through it. Super valuable. And it's timely that this is happening when Jose's episode is coming out, because we talk pretty extensively about how his mastermind group that he is in has helped him in his business. So look forward to that in the episode. And if you're interested, go to laundromatresource.com/pro and listen, join the awesome community we already have going on over there. And you get access to the mastermind groups, all the different resources, the discounts, everything that we've got going on with the pro community. Get access to all that. But that mastermind induction group, we do about every 6 weeks where we start new groups. That's happening April 10th, 4 to 6. Okay, super long-winded. I know. You guys always tell me that. So let's jump into it right with Jose right after a word from our sponsors.
What's up, laundromat owners? This is Gabe from BMR with today's quick marketing tip. Let's address one of the key aspects of attracting customers that we often take for granted, and that's the power of eye-catching signage. In a fast-paced world where streets are lined with businesses vying for your customers' attention, a distinctive sign can be the difference between a potential customer walking into your laundromat or simply passing by. Let's think about it. Before a potential customer even steps foot inside your laundromat, your sign is the first impression or greeting they're going to receive. It's not just a marker of your location, it's a silent salesman conveying the essence of your business. A well-designed sign grabs attention, makes a strong first impression, and communicates the quality and character of your services. An effective sign doesn't just announce laundromat, it tells your story. It can be bright and inviting, modern and sleek, charming and homey, reflecting the unique personality of your business. The visual appeal is crucial to attracting walk-in customers, especially those who make spontaneous decisions based on what catches their eye. And in the age of smartphones and social media, an attractive sign becomes a landmark. People photograph unique signs and share them online, giving you free advertising and increasing your visibility beyond just the local neighborhood. Let's invest in signage. Let's make it bold. Let's make it readable. Let's make it reflective of the quality of service you provide. A great sign not only draws customers in, but also sets the tone for their experience with your laundromat. It's a small change that can make a big impact on foot traffic and ultimately your bottom line. So for more free information about clear and effective signage, visit us at buildwithbmr.com/sign.
Jose, the day has come and you are finally here on the podcast. How you doing, man?
Good. It's been wild delays on my side, but finally glad we can make it happen.
Listen, man, the anticipation has been killing me, and I had to track you down. You're like out on like a work trip right now, and I had to just track you down.
Get it going.
So no, I appreciate you taking the time and coming to do it. I did not know that you were on a trip, so I appreciate you taking the time while you're on a trip to come on and share your story with us.
Yeah, no problem.
Awesome. Let's start with who are you and how'd you get started in this business?
I mean, my name's Jose. I'm always like almost like a serial entrepreneur, but not really. Always have these crazy ideas that drive my wife crazy. Always like something different. I always feel like I want to do something, even though in my regular job, I've been here for 17 years. With the job I have now, but I'm always trying to figure something out, something different. I always wanted something that I could control myself, I guess, something that I call my own. A couple of years ago, I did a little landscaping business with my son. It was hard dragging him out to do that, but it was something that maybe I thought would get him motivated, like a little job. You know, it became my job on the weekends.
Typical kids.
Yes. Yes.
That's funny.
But I drag him now to the laundromat. So he's small. So anything I have to have him crawl into or on top of a dryer to clean it or something, that's his job.
You could send him like through the ducts and, you know, put like a static clean suit on him or something. He can clean out your ducts for you for your dryer vents or something. That's funny. How old is he? Oh,
he's 15.
Nice.
And I have my daughter. I have her trying to post things for me and Instagram and stuff. I try to make her like, hey, my social media needs to up her game a little bit because of some of the content I see out there, but she's working hard for me.
That's good, man. That's good. That's awesome.
She just turned 20, so
okay.
She's in Florida, so she gets to enjoy the warm weather. She's in college over there.
Ah, she's living the dream and you're over here dampening that dream with making her post about laundromats.
My wife loves it because she gets to go. It gives her a reason to go to warm weather.
Yeah.
If it was up to my wife, we'd probably live in Florida.
Where are you guys at?
She wouldn't mind California. So we live in central Mass, a town called Charlton, but our laundromat's in Boston.
Okay.
So that's about, I mean, my laundromat's actually like an hour away with no traffic. So.
Yeah, that's a long way. We should probably talk about that and how that's been for you.
Yes.
But okay, so you've had this job for what you said, 17 years? Is that what you said? You've had a job for 17 years. You've tried different businesses. You had a landscaping thing, you're not doing that anymore.
No.
Shut that down. You're like, you're a lazy kid. We're done. So where did the laundromat come into play? How did that come on your radar even?
You know, just by reading different, I was just looking at different businesses and that I thought I would be a good fit, I guess. I feel like kind of a people person once somebody gets to know interaction wise, you know, I like that. You know, I do that with my job. We go to different towns all the time and get to meet different, we do a lot of work for municipalities. So I get to meet different people. So different interactions with all kinds of people, residents, you know, or different contractors we work with. So I always like to interact with people.
Yeah. Well, and laundromats being a community business, that's a pretty good fit for somebody who likes to be with people and hang out with people. So that's good. So you were just kind of looking online and you found like a laundromat for sale, or what did that look like?
Yeah, but I mean, I looked for a while. I mean, this wasn't... I first actually tried to start off with just teaming up with somebody just to do wash and fold. That's what I originally did. And that kind of deal fell through. I mean, we had negotiated price, wholesale price, and they were basically going to do the laundry, and I was just going to mark it up and arrange the pickup and delivery part of it. And then I'm not sure what happened with the guy. He got cold feet. Maybe he decided, man, why am I not doing this? You know, and changed his mind because he was already doing a wash and fold, and he had another location which he was doing wholesaling for somebody else and for a wash and fold company. So maybe he decided that, hey, maybe why am I not just doing this for myself? I don't know. He never gave me a reason.
He just backed out of that deal.
Yeah, so I just kept looking for a laundromat and to do it myself. I mean, before that, I started taking up all the free content I could take, YouTube videos, business books, listen to marketing books. I listened to anything to do with business. So I was kind of studying, was getting the free Planet Laundry magazine, reading that. So anything that I can learn the industry, I was absorbing. And it's funny because when I met, I went to different laundromats and finally this deal worked out. And people thought I owned the laundromat already because of all the studying I did, I sounded like I already owned one. So they already thought like, oh, you already have a laundromat? And I'm like, no. And they're like, oh, you seem like you know a lot. And I'm like, well, I've been studying and trying to learn what I'm getting into. And it's never, you can study all that, but once you get your feet wet, it's a different story.
Yeah. What are, I mean, this is kind of jumping the gun here, but I think a lot of people are in that situation where they're in that learning phase right now. They're trying to figure out, what this business is about and how it works and all that stuff. Can you give us some of the places you went to learn about laundromats and about business in general, or maybe some of the books or something like that you used to learn?
I did the Planet Laundry magazine. I signed up for their free subscription right away. And some of the books that you guys have described, obviously, the even like Buy Back Your Time book, if I remember it correct. And then some like Purple Cow marketing books, and just I can't even remember anything that was free that I can get into, even like going to distributor shows. I didn't have a laundromat, but it's most I don't ever think I remember paying for anyone, but I would just go to those shows and learn about the machines, look at the machines, and see what people were offering there. So I even went to distributor shows, all different distributors that I can go and learn about it.
What were some of the YouTube channels that you watched to learn the business?
And obviously, there's the big ones like yours, but there's some like little generic ones that I honestly I can't remember. Like these guys who just some of the videos were old, like stuff didn't even make sense to be doing now. But I just try to take whatever point they were making, because I would just look up random videos just searching that title. But like like Keegan, I've watched his videos on the repairs. What's the one that there's another guy who does like kind of how to laundry videos. He's from Florida. I should have wrote some of these things down.
No, that's okay. I'm putting you on
But
the spot here. We didn't talk about that beforehand, so I was
no
just kind of
no no
curious.
no but it's just it just kept searching and reading, and even like something I know people don't want to sign up for, like demoing things. Like I demoed some products or did like calls of like different softwares out there before I even had a laundromat. And some of them are hesitant and won't do it. They ask you, especially when I was trying to get into the wash and fold aspect, and I said I didn't own a laundromat, won't throw anybody under the bus, but there was something like, oh, call back when you have a laundry.
Maybe we should burn them right now. No, I'm just
So.
kidding. Awesome. Well, I mean, I love that though. I love the proactive, get after it and learn as much as you can and try the stuff, right? Demoing the stuff. That's like another step where it's not necessarily easy to kind of put yourself out there and do that, especially if you don't have that laundromat yet. So good on you for doing that. And in the meantime, I mean, like, were you looking for laundromats in the meantime, or what was that like?
Yeah, I was looking at calling different ones and basically, trying to get the information that's always kind of hard to get on all these laundromats when that, everybody goes through like getting the numbers. It's just like, I signed several NDAs just so, trying to get this information. And some of them like right away want to say proof of funds is like proof of funds. I don't even know how much you're even worth, and you're asking me for proof of funds. You haven't even proven to me that your laundromat's worth what you're asking me, but you want me to show you proof of funds. So
Yeah.
So it's kind of sometimes frustrating.
That is a little bit frustrating. I mean, it's, you know, I think there's a lot of issues with how the business is run. Not necessarily that that's necessarily a bad thing to ask for proof of funds. That's their right to do that, to ask for that. But, you know, there's definitely some things that could be improved about the buying process in our industry right now.
I mean, you talk about brokers, and this is a guy that has a lot of laundromats. He's in Connecticut area mainly, but all his freaking posts about laundromats, they all basically say the damn thing. Same damn thing. And I'm like, whoever hired this guy, don't they look at his work? Because it all says automation, auto door locks. And then one time I went to one of these guys' laundromats, and they didn't have no automatic doors or anything, auto locks. But he lists the same thing, same features for every laundromat that he's listing. And I'm like,
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, there's a lot of frustrations. I know a lot of, I mean, I talk to people all week, every week about, you know, who are trying to buy laundromats and stuff. And, you know, some of those same frustrations, a lot of frustrations with brokers not getting back to people. I swear, if you want to go out and make some money, go be a broker. And all you got to do is answer your phone or call people back and you will have business, right?
Like, I honestly, I was thinking, I thought, how do I become a broker? It's like, yeah. Because it's like, I can easily do better than what this guy's doing. He's just like copying and pasting everything.
Low hanging fruit there, in some markets for sure. Okay. So you were going to Laundromat University essentially, and you were looking around for laundromats. How did you find the one that you actually ended up buying in Boston?
Through, a listing, like, and I think another distributor might have told me that this guy was thinking about selling, and I had talked to him first, and then we didn't agree on a price. And I just, that one, I kind of was patient about, because honestly, I paid less than half of what he wanted just by playing the long game and waiting. I mean, sometimes you think you want to close the deal quick. I feel like people, like, well, especially now that people feel like, oh, I'm getting cash offer right away, and you don't want to risk losing the place. But you know, I sat on it, and then I seen, like, oh, he's still for sale, nothing has happened, you know. So I just kept waiting.
Okay. So first of all, when did you buy this? Set up the timeline for us.
Can you repeat that question? Because it froze up a little bit on my end.
Sorry. Cut out on my end over here. Yeah. Give me 1 second. Let me just mark it down. Okay. Can you hear me now? Okay. Can you set the timeline for us? When did you buy this laundromat?
September of last year. So okay. I got the key September 1st.
Okay, so it hasn't been that long. We're sitting in March of 24 right
and
now.
And I was closed from September all the way to the last week in December.
Okay. Why was it closed?
Trying to fix it up. I mean, it was a legit, I can't wait to send you the picture, the legit industry zombie mat. Like, there was probably 12 to 15 washers that were in the laundromat. They were not even in laundry washer spots. They were like taking room where people would have walked, or could have been washed, folding tables or something. But there were like washer ornaments there.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So, all right. So let's back up here then. Back up here. So this sounds like this was a pretty big project. So you found this either from the distributor online or something like that. You sat on it for a little while. Do you mind? I mean, you don't have to share this if you don't want to, but do you mind sharing how much it was listing for? How much they were asking for?
It was $85,000. I don't mind sharing that.
And then you ended up buying it for about half that? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay. And when you bought it, first of all, listen, you know, 50 grand or whatever it ended up being, you know, for you, that's not very much money for a laundromat, but that's still a lot of money, right?
Yes, no, it
so
is.
So how did you, you know, a lot of people I talk to have this fear of taking that first step, right? And if you're spending 50 grand or whatever to buy a laundromat that literally just has, like, it's kind of like a washing machine graveyard, right? Like junkyard, where there's machines like laying around everywhere. How did you decide to take that step and say, okay, this is the one and I'm going to go for it?
I just knew that if I did a good job, I mean, within, first of all, within a mile, did I know of this 5 laundromats at least? So I knew that the population was there for it, and I just needed to do a better job than everybody else, and I'm getting there that way, because it's just crazy how many people still don't claim their Google My Business, don't have a website, anything like that. So I'm like, man, I just got to do these kind of things, and I know I'm going to get there where I need to be. I felt pretty confident about there, and in this deal, the weird thing is that I hadn't even closed on the deal for the laundromat, but I was trying to get the deal done with the distributor and through Dexter to secure the equipment, because I was not going to do this deal unless I could put new equipment. Right. That was one of the big things, is like, I had to talk my wife into this too, and she's very supportive. Sometimes, she probably thinks I'm crazy and she might want to kill me, but I think she still loves me. So I knew that we could not be there to be fixing machines. So I needed to have equipment that was going to be reliable and be running in order for this to work.
All right. So I asked you, how did you overcome your fear? And you said, I was confident it was going to work. Because there's 5 laundromats within a mile. And that's like, oh my gosh, now you're in the middle of like 5 laundromats and you're competing, and you probably have like the worst one when you took over it, right? Like, it's got to be the
I know
worst, or one of them.
Yeah, I guess.
Built different. That's what I'm trying to say. You're built different.
What is that? They say ignorance is sometimes a blessing or something
is
like
bliss.
That.
Yeah, ignorance is bliss. Yeah.
Yes, I think that's me. I sometimes my wife hates that about, like, I'm always trying to look at, I sometimes look at things too positive. Sometimes I'm like, hey, just gotta, we're going to get by this and we're going to figure it out and just keep pushing. I mean, sometimes I do have those, because like I said, I'm not in the green, but I've been growing. It's only legitimately been 2 months of, you can't count December. And my goal was, like, I really wasn't counting turns. I was going through the aspect of, okay, the average laundromat customer spends, they say, $50 to $80 a month. You know, is that maybe wrong? But that's what I thought I learned. So that's how I broke everything down. I'm like, and I did it lowball. I went down and I broke it down to $50. I'm like, how many people do I need to spend $50 in a month? And that's what I said. Okay, if I get to 200 customers a month, then I feel, okay, I'm good there. And now if I just get them to 300. So I was just like counting customers. That's what I've been really thinking, is growing each day the customer base and taking the average of them spending $50 a month in laundry, which some of them spend more. That's the average that I looked at it as.
Yeah.
How, nice. What I needed to grow.
Yeah. I think that's in the ballpark, kind of that 40 to 60 range is what I see a lot. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. So I think that's good, dude. First of all, your wife she's got to be a saint. You know, my wife hears my crazy ideas, and sometimes she's like, listen, is this one of the ones you just have to do, or can we not do this? But that's, you know, you're like the entrepreneur at heart, right? Perpetual optimist. I can make it work. I can make it happen. And you just go out and make it happen. That's what you do, right? Might take a little time, but you just go make it happen. So I love that. So you got this thing for, you know, 45, 50 grand, whatever it ended up being. And did you put like all new machines in, or partially new machines?
No.
What was the plan there?
Everything new, dryer, washer. So
yeah.
Definitely 2 feet first jumping in. Because I knew the machinery, I could not provide the customer experience with the machines that were there. Even though the guy was making it work crazy, I'm like, people are still coming in here. And this is why I knew there was hope, you know, and I just needed a little bit because people were still coming in to the laundromat. The change machine doesn't work. The old man sits there and gives out quarters, you know, and he still has people that come in, whether they felt bad for him or what, or because there's a lot of people who walk, you know, that area of Boston is a lot of foot traffic, you know, people walk, and even though there's not a laundromat, the ones you could capture just the foot traffic people, because they don't even want to walk another block. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not high rises like New York, but there's like a lot of three-decker families, six-unit apartment buildings. There's a lot of those crammed all up and down blocks. And that's how I was looking at it. I'm like, okay, this is in one footprint. This is three households. And that's how I keep looking at it. How can I capture all the three people in this apartment building from the next apartment building? So that's what I keep trying to figure out, how to keep capturing these apartment buildings. Just down the street that parallel to my laundromat.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So you did a full retool. Did you do other renovations also?
Yeah, we painted and stuff like that. New ceiling tiles, new lighting. And a lot of that, basically, myself with my wife and my nephew and my kids did that. You know, a lot of sweat equity, because I'm like, okay, ceiling tiles I could change out. I know how to change out lights. We're doing that. My wife was cleaning there, and we're both working. And honestly, since we got the laundromat, we haven't had a day off. So, yeah. You know, if you either you're going to spend there working and fixing it, or are you going to pay somebody to do it?
Yep.
So after work, we were just there, and we're there on the weekends, you know, just seeing trying to get to that end goal where we want the store at, you know, so that's where we just keep working at it.
Yeah. I want to go back, if you don't mind, just for a second. As you were talking, I was thinking of, you know, you mentioned, I feel like we glossed over, but you kind of sat on this listing for a little while, and you ended up getting it for about half of asking price, you know, more or less. Can you tell me what, like, negotiations were like there? Did you just say, hey, I'll offer half? And how'd you decide what to offer? And was there back and forth? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, there was a back and forth. I even tried to go less with that, you know. And, you know, I tried to tell him, it's like, listen, the equipment is really not worth anything to me. I said, you can have the equipment in reality. You know, I was trying to buy the basically infrastructure and not having to deal with the city of Boston. If I was to build a laundromat, it would be a lot more headaches with the permitting and all that with the city and trying to get that built out.
Yeah.
So that was one of the main things that I was like, you know, the infrastructure there, the gas, even though some of the plumbing I had to upgrade, I put drain cross and stuff like that because I needed it. So, but that was one of the main things I told him. I said, your equipment's not really worth anything, and he knew. So I think that was one of the things that he kept telling me he wanted to go take a cruise. I don't think he still hasn't taken that cruise though.
You didn't pay him enough, that's why.
He actually, the great thing is he works for me now.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh. He's
a great old man. He advocates more for the laundromat. I think he feels a little bit attached to it.
Yeah.
And he's great with that. Always trying to like tell. He was texting people, calling to come back. Hey, we're open. So I appreciate him there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That he does like 4 days a week for us, and he's great. He does some of the old things that we gotta keep correcting him sometimes, like that he used to do, like a little bit of watering down the soap. Is like, hey, we're not doing that anymore. Don't do that, please.
Yeah, watering down the soap is classic. That's classic. But I mean, genuinely, that's probably why people were still coming. It was probably because of him, you know. Like,
yeah, absolutely. People still say they love him, you know.
So I mean, that's a good asset, you know, if you can kind of rein in some of the, you know, the watering down the soap stuff, and, you know, some of the kind of old school ways of doing some of those things. And just have him there for the sort of the personality and the presence there. That's a really good, potentially a really good pickup for you.
No, it was. People ask me, even when they see me and they don't know that he's still there, that people who have come back after being gone for a while, because people left them because of the dealing with the issues of not being able to get quarters if he wasn't there, or the machine not bringing out their clothes good, you know. Mm-hmm. They're just like, you know, even though they tried to stay there as long as they could, then they just had to make the choice that they decided to go to another laundromat.
Yeah. Well, and that's a, you know, that he's probably pretty excited about what his laundromat has become too, right?
No, he is. He is. Yeah. You know, I don't know how old your kids are, but I'm sure he
12 and 10.
So I don't know if you heard the terminology glazing, but my son would be like, oh, so his name is Solomon, the guy. He's like, oh, Solomon's glazing all over you, Dad. Because he says all these positive things to me.
Yeah. Well, you've helped him like preserve his legacy and you've improved it, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, that's his, like you said, that he had trouble, you know, detaching from it and still is having trouble detaching from it, apparently, because he's working there now. But you've turned it into something you can be proud of, which I think is pretty cool for him and pretty cool for you too.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome. Okay. Well, I mean, you mentioned the quarter thing a couple of times. You put in all these new machines. Are you still doing quarters? Are you doing something else? What are you doing?
You know, I went straight to, and nobody on that road was doing cards. And I mean, I went with Laundry Works. So, you know, sometimes I feel like when people, I feel like get the miss about card system, because I think a lot of people hear card and they automatically think of just credit card, you know, and Laundry Works and some other ones out there, you're still able to use cash, you know, you're just using it in the kiosk, you know, and the value system. So you're still accepting cash. I'm just not accepting quarters, you know, and I incentivize the cash, you know, but. Even when incentivizing cash, I feel like people are using their cards and debit. You know, I'll see days that are 50-50, you know, cash users versus credit card users.
Have you gotten any response from customers? Like, do they like it? Do they not like it? Was the learning curve hard? I think a lot of people are afraid to go all cards.
No, there are. There have been some people that do want the quarter, but most people, once they use it, they've gotten so excited. And especially one of the features that I like about the Laundry Works that we promote a lot is I haven't been using the customer's data yet, but I encourage everybody to register. And in the texting, the Laundry Works texts, people like, they get so excited when they hear that the machine will text you, because there's a lot of people who are in the neighborhood. So they can actually put in their washer 25 minutes. They could go home for 25 minutes and sit on their couch if they want. Because they're like in walking distance, mm-hmm. and or walking up and down the street now that the weather's getting nice, you know. So people got really excited about being able to receive notification when their laundry is done.
Yeah, pretty cool feature that you just can't have when you got the coin system too. So it's interesting, you know, where the industry is going right now with payment systems. And, you know, have we landed on the final variation? No, obviously not. And still the majority of laundromats are coin-based, but more and more are going with the card systems. And it does give you a lot of flexibility on how you can serve your customers better through different promotions, but also, you know, some of these other features like texting, customers on the laundry
side. And even the customer service aspect of it, you know, somebody, you know, I've had your typical, even though everything's new, too much soap, and they say they don't rinse it enough. It's so easy to just credit them the $5.
Yeah.
And you know what? The $5 means they got to come back over here to spend it. You know, it's not like I gave them physically $5 and they can choose to go spend that $5 somewhere else. I credit the $5 right to their loyalty card, and they got to come back over here to spend that $5.
Yeah.
So it's much easier for customer service, or I just start the machine with my management card. You know, I've had people overstuff it already, and especially the soft mount ones. They, you know, I'm like, oh, just move it to this 40 pounder. I'll start it up for you. You know, it's just so easy to take care of a customer with that.
Yeah. Which is huge, right? That speed to take care of the problems and the ease to take care of the problems is a big deal, because it makes a big impression on the customer when they have a problem and it's just handled effortlessly and quickly, which is pretty cool.
No, it is. It is. They do have an app feature. I haven't activated that part of it, because since I bought all the laundry cards, I feel like, okay, let me use up all these laundry cards first. And then once I start getting low on those, and maybe I'll get a mix and start using the app, the LaundryWorks app.
So you've got all new equipment in there. You've got some retooling. You've got a card system in there. What are you doing? I mean, and you said you were running some ads, right? Are you doing anything else to draw new customers in at all?
Like, I mean, one of this one attendant, he's a pretty young guy. Even before we opened, I had him going through the neighborhoods, basically some guerrilla marketing, putting like flyers on doors. Because we did when we opened, we did the double your money deal for a whole month with the LaundryWorks, try to get the buzz out there. And I've been actually doing some geofencing with Ernesto and Barbara.
Yeah. Okay.
So. And that's just been going for a month, and I got 50 verified new customers with that.
Awesome. That's awesome. Because you're still in that growth phase right now, right? So you're...
Yeah, and I'm trying to like, yeah. Every day I'm kind of like, okay, what are you know? So like this month, St. Patrick's Day, I'm doing like, I lowered like the washing fold, you know, by 25 cents each in-store and pickup and delivery. So
you guys are doing... Self-serve, drop off, and pick up and delivery right now?
Yeah. But I don't have my own drivers. I am using Sense and I'm using the gig workers.
Okay.
So
you may not know yet. It's pretty early. Are you doing much wash, dry, fold or pick up and delivery?
Poundage wise, I don't know what the pounds equal, but I'm doing about $2,000 a month.
Oh, that's pretty good. I mean, you've only been going for a couple months.
No, so sometimes I'm like, only, I don't know. But it's like,
yeah,
I feel like if I only could get even better at marketing, I could probably grow a little more. Because I'm not really like, besides putting it, having my daughter put it on Instagram and stuff like that, and I had her make a Facebook for the laundromat. So I've been trying to talk to different apartments. I made some flyers for different apartments. To try to get people to try it out.
Yeah. Have you had much response from those flyers yet or not yet? Or you don't know?
You know, some of them, I don't know right now, but I've been trying to do a unique promotion code for that flyer, which I wasn't. I was using like I have like a welcome 20 for first time.
Right.
They can get $5 off four times, which would equal the 20 off there. First four orders, you know, each time they get $5 off. So I had that generic promo code. So I want to try to do a specific one for difference to track it better. I need to do a better job with that.
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, you're like way early on in the process here. So all that is, it's more about just getting it out there initially, like, right? You're like sprinting to profitability. And then once you hit that profitability mark, then you can start kind of honing in, but it's more just like, dude, wherever the business is coming from, let's get it in here. And then we can kind of sort it out once we get it there.
No, and it's so weird because sometimes I feel like, do I have a lower price tier to get the business? You know, I'm thinking of this because I just read something about like how Little Caesars, you know, they grew so much with their $5 pizza. Right. And now that $5 pizza is an $8 pizza. And I know everything has gone up, but they hate, while they were growing with that $5 deal, they grew so much.
Like crazy amounts, yeah.
So,
yeah.
And then they kept adjusting.
Yeah, and trying to figure out what the equivalent of that is, you know, for laundromat. And do you apply that to self-serve or drop-off or pickup and delivery or a couple of them or, you know, what that looks like? And can you do it and still be profitable a little bit? You know, I'm sure their margins were slim. I don't know. Maybe they were losing money on those $5.
Well, sure. That's the whole thing. I feel like right now it's like I'm already paying an attendant there. So I feel like I can be whatever the wash and fold till I have to, I feel like, hire somebody. If I have to have a second person there to do laundry, then the margins will get smaller. But till then, I think you can be a little bit lower to try to get people. But I also do the wash bag and wash, dry, and bag. I offer that And I offer that for pickup and delivery. And I've had a couple of people do that. Just wash it, dry it, and bag it. So,
yeah. How's the, just out of curiosity, and I know it's early, but how's the gig worker pickup and delivery working for you?
It's been good. I only had one order that they said it was an error on the driver, but I don't know how the driver was able to cancel the order. So that somehow when the driver canceled the pickup that he didn't want it, somehow it didn't get forward to somebody else. But then the customer had it picked up the next day, so it didn't impact the customer. You know, they weren't upset or anything. But I was kind of, the only thing I was upset, you know, and I told, you know, my POS is like, I would like to get a notification. And maybe there was and I missed it. I still haven't got to the bottom of that, but I didn't get a notification that, hey, this customer picked a window between 5 and 5:30 and nobody showed up. And I could say I'm probably the only one using gig workers around my area right now. And because even like the gig workers themselves are like, they're surprised when they're picking up laundry.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I started seeing more and more commercials with like DoorDash and stuff that are picking up. They're really promoting that they're doing more than just food now. I haven't seen any like laundry specific commercials, but I've seen like their whole, I don't know, maybe like on YouTube or something, online ads or whatever, but they're running ads that are like, oh, I didn't know, you know, DoorDash.
No, I didn't know that they pick up other things, because I did have a situation. Since I do the wash and bag, customer did an online order. They picked the wrong, they wanted wash and fold. They didn't pick that. So when they got their clothes back, they were upset. So, you know, and this is about, you know, taking care of the customer. Right. Is like, I was like, listen, I'll credit you right away. I said, I'll credit you $50, whatever. It was a big order. They had like 90 pounds of laundry. So, you know, well, they're like, well, I really wanted them folded. I'm like, okay. I said, I can't, maybe I can, but I didn't know how to summons my own driver to go pick it up. Right. I'm like, she was literally like less than a half a mile from our laundromat. So I'm like, if you want, we can refold this. She's like, oh, that would be great. I'll drop it off. And we refolded it. So she went from being really upset, and she actually apologized and gave us a 5-star review because we took care of that and folded it. So she even heard, so she's like, I'm sorry for being a B on the phone, you know, but I just didn't want to deal with folding it. And I was like, yeah, no problem. So she gave us a 5-star review. But then the funny thing is, the next day, is this when I found out that Uber could do different things. She had an Uber come pick up her order. And I was totally confused. The attendant's calling me like, hey, there's an Uber for order S, whatever. I'm like, well, the delivery is ones that are with a D. It's like, but that was already completed. She must have gave them their order number. And I'm like, what? I'm like, I'm pulling up the POS. I'm like, we don't have anything scheduled for pickup. They're like, well, they have the customer's name. They have the order number. What do I do? Do I release this clothes to this Uber? And he's like, yeah, she hired us. You know, this is her. He had all her name and the order number. She must have put it in there and told them. So I'm like, you know what? I guess release the clothes. And yeah, and then come to find out is that you can hire Uber to go pick up, I guess, whatever you want. Because she ordered that specifically herself.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
I never knew that.
Yeah, I didn't really know that either. But, you know, hey, listen, this is awesome. And these are tools that we can be using as laundromat owners. And, you know, whether we promote that stuff to our customers or not, or they just find it on their own, you know, whatever. But, you know, kind of whatever helps us build our business. But I did want to go back to her being a bee and that whole kind of situation, because a lot of times I've just seen, and I'm sure everybody's seen like reviews online, laundromats or restaurants or whatever, where somebody's upset and the owner or the manager, somebody responds and it's very combative. But when a mistake is made or when people are upset, those actually can be your best opportunities to shine and get those 5-star reviews, right? Because you have an opportunity to take care of somebody in a good way. Now, it doesn't always work like this because not everybody is justified in why they're angry or whatever. But if they are, that's a good opportunity for you to get in there, remedy the situation, you know, give a credit or whatever, and make the customer happy. And a lot of times, just like this lady, they feel bad that they responded the way they did, and they go in and just say, hey, you know, like, I was upset, but they took care of me and it was great, great service. And so those can be really good opportunities. So when somebody does have negative feedback for you, you know, look at it more as an opportunity to shine and to show off your customer service. That's props to you, man. That's
So I talked about this in our, we have a group through the Laundromat Resource, you know, the mastermind group. And I just talked about that experience with those guys too, because, you know, and I also kind of took ownership of the situation. That's one of the books that I read. You put it on the resource, Extreme Ownership. And I took on, you know, I went through the experience myself. I'm like, let me go like I'm placing an order. And what I did find out is that when the order screen was coming up, the wash and bag was the very first top. And I'm like, oh, I can see maybe this is how they messed up, you know. So I quickly reached out to the account manager and swapped that out. So the wash and fold is always on top. And then I changed the wash and bag and in bold letters put the no folding. So that really pops, you know. So I changed that around and, you know, try to look at it from the customer's eyes and corrected that.
That's killer advice right there, because, you know, going back through that customer experience, you know, we've talked about it a couple times on the podcast over the years, but, you know, going through that customer experience and analyzing exactly how the customer's experiencing something and trying to optimize that, is that'll pay huge dividends. And when problems like this come up, what I love about that even more is, you know, those can be great opportunities to turn somebody who's angry into a raving fan, which is what you did. But then you took the extra step and said, well, let me go see what that experience was like and see if there's something to be remedied there, and did that and remedied that issue also. That's good stuff, man. That's really good stuff. That's the stuff champions are made of right there.
Trying to get there.
You're going to get there for sure, because it sounds like you're doing all the right stuff, right? You've got a nice new laundromat, you've got good employees, and you're taking care of your customers. And that's, you know, that's the basic framework, right? Now all you need to do is keep getting that word out to people about the services you offer and the laundromat you have there for that community. And those other four laundromats they're toast, man. They're toast. Those guys.
I hope.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so, I mean, overall, you know, you were looking for laundromats, doing a lot of research for a long time. You finally got one. It took you a couple months to get it up and running, doing renovations and stuff. Pretty early in on it right now, but overall, like, how's the experience been for you? What's your impression of owning a laundromat at this point in time, knowing that you're not even making money yet?
It's, you know, even my wife has said it, we haven't, it's such a need for a lot of people out there. You know, you get to learn not even just the ownership and having a business. It's just, I feel like it's a lot of lessons and learning about what people have to deal with all the time. People who don't have washing machines and stuff at home. So it's been a real opening in that aspect of people's needs. I think that it's kind of rewarding at the same time, you know, like, you know, I had a customer that, you know, just needed a couple more minutes they didn't have enough money to finish drying. And, you know, since we have, they were so used to quarters, they're thinking at one point that they could put quarters in the kiosk, mm-hmm. to where it's the same slot as cash. And I'm like, oh, can I help you? And it's like, what? And it's almost like, oh, I'm just trying to get a little more dry time, trying to add these couple quarters to the dryer. And I'm like, oh, don't worry about it. I said, I'll give you a couple more minutes on it. You know, it's like, they were down to their last like 50, 75 cents, you know? So, you know, it's just those little things that, you know, trying to pay it forward, and hopefully, you know, people realize that we're just a different laundromat for them. So, I mean, but it is hard work, and that other aspect of owning a laundromat is not, especially at this stage, you know, could I be maybe more profitable right now if I wasn't fully attended? Maybe not, but I'm fully attended the whole time. There's always somebody there. if I was working more hours, could I maybe be in the green now? Maybe. But maybe customers not getting that experience. And I feel like us having the card system, that it is a learning curve. So if somebody's not there to talk to somebody about that and tell them the benefits of having it, and that's one thing my wife sometimes feels like I try to micromanage. And it's hard because the Extreme Ownership book talks about decentralized command and having all the employees think like leaders. And sometimes I still like want to know if the attendant was like, and nobody's going to do it like you are towards a customer, you know,
right. Yeah.
Explain things like you would, like the benefits and be as happy to explain why they want to be here as yourself, the owner. So I got to be at peace with that, that nobody's ever going to do it like somebody who owns something.
Yeah. And, you know, Extreme Ownership, great book. And, you know, that concept of having all your employees take on some leadership is great, but it's difficult for hard charging entrepreneurs who want things done. They want them done now and they want them done the right way. And we always know the right way to do it. So there's no right. And so it's tough. It's tough to kind of give that over to the employees. But you know what I mean? Like that's how you'll grow, you know, in the long run. And that's how your employees will grow, you know, personally, even in learning some of those leadership skills, learning some of those ways to communicate with customers. And it's good for them. It's good for the business. It's good for you in the long run, but in the short run, it can be tough for sure.
No, it is. And I empowered the, all the attendants because they have laundry cards that, because they have to do the wash and fold. Mm-hmm. Now Laundry Works has an app that you can do the wash and fold, but you know, we had loaded some credits about that. And I'm like, hey, if there's an issue, just start the other machine. I don't even care. You know what I'm saying? I empowered them. I said, you don't have to call me. Just if there's an issue, they're saying it's too soapy, just start it. It's not dry enough. Just start it. And they do communicate that with me still. But it's not like I'm trying to micromanage that aspect. Because if it got to the point that, obviously, with the Laundry Works, you could track everything, that I could see that, okay, this person's like, man, you gave away this much laundry. You know, eventually we'll see it. But I feel like I'm lucky the attendants I have I don't feel like they would do that.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. So you've got your laundromat finally. Yes. It's new. It's up and running. Yes. Finally. You're doing pretty good for the first couple months on wash, dry, fold, pickup, and delivery, which is awesome. We've got another segment of the show called Down to Business.
Let's get down to business. Over and out.
And we're just going to dig into a little bit more detail. I mean, we talked about a lot of detail about your business already, but just a little bit more here. I just want to reiterate this. How long have you been in the business?
Well, officially open, it's really just the last week of December. So I opened right before Christmas. I guess it's like who's gonna, nobody has money left over.
Yeah,
it's right. Like everybody did Christmas shopping.
Everybody's
you
poor
know?
Now. Yeah. Yeah. So, and they just all got new clothes too. So they don't need to wash them for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like 2.5 months from where we're sitting right now, which is not long. And you know, a couple things I just want to point out about that. Number one, appreciate you coming on the show, as being somebody who hasn't been in super long, because you know, a lot of times it's really cool to hear from some of these guys that are way down the line who are doing like crazy things, tons of laundromats, huge business, all that stuff. I love talking to those guys a lot and I love hearing from them. But a lot of people who are trying to get into this business, it's really hard to relate with that, right? You're at a point where you're like a step beyond that. So I appreciate you coming on and sharing that, because I think your story and how you're kind of getting into this business and how you're operating your business right now speaks to a lot of those people who are brand new in the business who are just trying to get in their first laundromat right now. So I appreciate you coming on. And then number two is I hear a lot of times, and this is not to you, I'm speaking to you out there listening right now who own laundromats. I hear a lot of people who are like, your podcast is so big now and I don't feel like I should come on or anything like that. That's not true. So if you've been thinking about coming on the podcast, hit me up, because always looking for people to talk to, because all our experiences are different. And one cool thing about this business is it's such a simple business, but you can be run like 1,000 different ways. And you listen to every interview on the podcast and nobody's running their laundromats the exact same way. So we're all kind of sharing our experiences, which is cool. And we're all sharing how we're running our laundromats so that we can, you know, we can all take the best from each other and all of us get better together. So huge shout out to you. That was like a big rant I just went on, but I appreciate you.
No, and I do it. And, you know, that's one thing, you know, exactly. I love, like, even when, you know, Madison talked about her having to close down her washing pole. Those all reality things that are happening. It's not like everybody says the 90% successful rate, and it's hard to get to that point. And, you know, I'm not there yet, but I'm working on it every day, trying to think of what can I do different. And even like when I hadn't even closed my deal, and I had a logo for the laundromat, and my website is Top Wash Laundry Mats. I had an S on it, you know, because I'm like, you know what? This thing works out. If it works out, I'm going to get another one then. If it works out, I'll have the S there right there already. And people have asked me, it's like, I had somebody ask me, hey, is this some kind of franchise? I'm like, oh, thanks. That's a good compliment, because they think that, yeah. I'm like, they think my logo is something like that. I didn't think it was that super great, but they think it's like some kind of franchise, even though my laundromat, it looks nice, you know, I've done a lot of work, but I don't think it's like a franchise looking one, but I appreciate that. Somebody asking me that.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. And when you mentioned Madison's episode, so we'll put a link just in case anybody hasn't heard that one. It's a super good episode. And you'll see Madison around. She's creating videos over here and doing some Q&As and stuff with us. So she's rad. So check that out. And then also, I mean, you've mentioned a few different books. I'm just pointing this out right now, but you mentioned a few different books. We'll put links to all those books just in case you want to check out, like Extreme Ownership or Purple Cow or Buy Back Your Time or any of those things. So we'll put some links down there too, so you can grab those. Okay, but back to down to business. Where so you've been in not long, and that was the whole point of that. So I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah.
What does it cost to what does it cost to do laundry where you're at in Boston?
So I have basically three sizes of machines. I have some 20-pound soft mounts, and then I have 40-pounders and 60s. The 20s are 40, and the 60s are
killing it.
I know. It's just like, that's what I was telling you. It's like, are these kind of high? But it's actually a little bit lower than my competitors just by like 15 cents, you know, and that's the great thing about the card system. They cannot do that. I'm like, okay, they can go a quarter down if they want to go a quarter, but then I'm just going to be like 12 cents more or whatever, 15, you know, 10 cents more. They can't do what I can do. And that's why I'm really trying to think of the way that I'm going to take advantage of my card system.
Yeah.
And in the dryers, I have 30s and I have 50s, and I do 25 cents for 5 minutes on the 30s and 5 minutes also on the 50s, but I do 30 cents on those, just a little bit more.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, well, that's a huge advantage that you do have, and looking for ways to exploit that, you know, that uniqueness of your laundromat. I
think that's what I asked in the community about free dry, you know, how people felt about that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if people replied yet, because even if I didn't do it, I see laundromats that do it, you know, especially like, what is that? What's that franchise?
Laundry Lab?
No, the other one that has laundry in it. They're like orange and blue.
Oh, yeah.
Laundry Max? Is it Laundry Max?
Yeah, I think it's Laundry Max.
They always do free dry. But I was like, maybe with this system, I was thinking about doing Wednesdays, free dry credits. And not even totally free, you just earn some dry credits, which I can do with the Laundry Works, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, listen, you just probably just sparked a huge debate. So everybody chime in on free dry. What are your thoughts? Should Jose?
Yes, let me know.
Yeah. Check out the, go to the forum. We'll have a post on the forum. I'll post a forum post. We can go debate free dry. Laundromatresource.com/forums. I'll put a link in the show notes or in the description if you're on YouTube. down there. Let's talk free dry, because that's a hot button topic where some people are all for it, some people
even the full cycle. There's nobody around here that has full cycle dry, and I was thinking about that. Even without having coins, each time you have to tap the machine with the card, so it's like simulating coin action. So I'm like, it's just easier for one tap, 30 minutes. You know, I don't know how customers will feel about it.
I think a lot of people that have that system in place go to full cycle, because it is kind of a pain to, and there's like a slight delay sometimes, you know, when you tap it before it adds a credit. And so people are like, what's happening? So it's worth thinking about. Maybe try it out on your 50s and see if people hate it, people like it. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, just doing a couple in the corner at the end of the 30s and to put some signage, use a full cycle and see how people handle it.
Or just make them do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Or not. I don't know. Okay. So what do you have any, I mean, again, this is super early. So these, and because you basically just opened up, these numbers are probably changing daily. But you have any sense of like turns per day that you guys are doing right now in the first couple months?
So it's between 2.5 and I'll say 3, but 3 are basically the big machines. People like those, you know, 60 pounds. But some machines are a lot lower. You know, you have this one machine that says like 1.5. Because it's just, you know, people just grab whatever they see first. And but I did, down to business, I didn't know if you wanted to know my wash and fold prices.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
So in-store wash and fold is a, and then I do the wash and bag in-store for $1. And then the pickup and delivery for wash and fold and for pickup and delivery of wash and bag, you know.
That's a good bargain. do pickup and delivery. I guess if I have an Uber driver or DoorDash or send my laundry out to you across the country.
Yeah. And basically I with that price, I included the gig worker, you know, since you can subsidize, I subsidize up to 3 miles.
Okay.
So basically that's a price for three, if you're within 3 miles. Anything above that, you know, it's a little different extra charge. I don't know what the breakdown is, but I seen one that wasn't that far and it cost the customer another 31 cents. So it wasn't like a lot more.
Thank you for reminding me to ask you about that. Or I guess I didn't really ask you about it. You just said, hey, how many, you talked about that you and your family are working at this laundromat. You're doing it all the time, you're there on the weekends and stuff. Do you have any sense of like how many hours a week you guys are working on it right now, this like startup phase?
So I would say it's gonna get a little, normally my wife was working on Fridays like at her other job, but now she's gonna have Fridays off, so she's gonna do like maybe like the morning shifts there now. But before that, we would cover the Saturday and Sunday, so that was basically 24 hours a week, because I'm open for 12 hours, so I would be there. We would be there for 12 hours on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
So the whole time we're open, we were covering the weekends, which I really liked about it because it's the most interaction with the customer. Even though I'm there for 12 hours, it's the majority of the customers. And like I say, I can be my biggest cheerleader out there. And even people who don't know, who I'm a little default aggressive sometimes. As you know, I jumped into this. I see somebody walking by with the laundry across the street and I'm like, hey, we're back open. I don't know if you noticed the sign. You know, come on in and let me hook you up. You know, so
that's all. Does that work?
I've had some. Yeah, I have some. And then there was one that I didn't even have to. She's like, oh, I was coming here anyways. I'm like, oh, right, whatever. Because I have a promo code with the laundry works is free wash 10 and they get $10 credit and a free laundry card, but they have to fully register in order to get that promotion. Mm-hmm. So they have to basically give me all the information for that, which is great. If they don't put in the whole information, they don't get that $10 credit.
That's super, super powerful stuff. And I mean, I know you said you haven't really started even using that information yet, but you know, you'll have it all. So when you're ready to start you know, targeting with ads or starting email automation, you know, sequences or text messaging automation sequences or blast, you're going to be able to have all that information right there and ready to go for it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking like now. It's like all these self-serve customers that I have is like, thinking like, you know, I might not convert them to Wash and Fold, but, you know, the winter's coming. So I was thinking of sending the winter's ending, sending something to get their comforters done, you know. Yep. I have all that information and be like, hey, come drop off your comforters. We'll wash them for you.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot you can tap into that with once you have that customer data. I mean, I talk about that all the time. Probably people are sick of me talking about it, but we're just not doing it as an industry, but you're doing it and like you're collecting that data, you're collecting that information. And once you decide sort of the best ways for you to implement it, you're going to be set and ready to go because you'll have it all there. It's awesome. Cool. All right. We got another segment of the show called Secret Sauce.
Listen up. It's the Secret Sauce.
And Secret Sauce is what's your, you know, again, just acknowledging, hey, you're only 2.5 months in right now, but what's your best tip for people who own laundromats? What's something that you see working or something that you have done that you think was a good move or, you know, something like that, that, you know, other owners might benefit from?
So, I mean, we talk about taking care of the customer. That's a big thing. But other things that laundromat owners, I feel like, and this has nothing to do with the customers, but see what other resources out there, you know, different. I'm in Boston, a lot of cities, they have programs for businesses, you know what I'm saying? And for somebody, I have a lot lower locked in rate of electric than I even pay at my own house because I could buy electricity through the city to a program they have. And I actually pay less for a kilowatt at my laundromat than I pay at my own house, you know, and that's just something I found out by trying to figure out what resources are there locally. And, you know, some of the money I got for remodeling the place, it's not I got it for free, but it was through a loan backed by the city because they're trying to make sure businesses are in the city. So I think that's trying to figure out what actual resources are out there that you could take advantage to. Even my lighting, some of the lighting I got replaced was to the electric company. You know, try to look into that. I should have done that sooner because I could have, some of the lighting that I did on my own, I could have got them to do it. But there's a lot of government programs out there for businesses. In some towns, I know maybe if you live in a rural area, they might not have the programs. But especially if you're in a city, I would look into those business programs.
You start talking about saving laundromat owners on utilities, and you start talking our language over here. That's something to make the ears perk up because those utilities, man, they just keep creeping up and up and up. So, awesome secret sauce.
Yeah.
All right. We got another segment called Pro Tips.
Pro Tips.
And that is for you maybe like 6 months ago. What is one piece of advice that you have for people who are trying to get that very first laundromat?
Just, I would say, keep calling people. Like keep visiting the laundromats. Even though I went and seen some deals that I, in back of my head, I knew I wasn't going to be able to afford, you know? But I always had the confidence that I did just so I can get to know what people are asking for, what the prices are out there, you know, what different deals were offering for machinery and kind of figure out what, okay, these machineries seem like they're worth more, you know, people think because they're trying to sell it for more. So I, even though I just went and visited and called different laundromats and visited them and checked them out and did walkthroughs, even though I wasn't going to be able to afford it. I didn't think I would be able to make the deal happen because I figured some of mine didn't. I tried to get the deal, but they didn't agree to it. So if you don't keep just doing it, you're not going to figure out what deal you can work out and what things are worth. If you just keep trying to find the perfect deal, and you're not going to find a perfect deal. You're just going to wait there. You're just going to be sitting in the sideline and another deal is going to pass you by. There was one that I would have loved. It was probably like 15 minutes from my house. Somebody else got it. They actually did a nice job there, remodeling it, and they revamped it, and it looks nice. I just couldn't work out a deal with that one.
I love that advice of just go after it. Keep looking, because the more you're looking at laundromats, the more you're analyzing these deals, the sharper your eye gets to seeing what you can make work, what's going to work out for you, what's not going to work out for you. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that you need to do to get those deals, especially in today's market where deals are harder to come by than they have been in a really long time. So,
yeah, you start learning, like you start visiting and you see behind washers and you're like, oh, these washers just drain directly into the pipe. Now you visited a laundromat that has a drain trough and you're like, what is this for? Because you start learning, or even like behind dryers, you start learning like, wow, the last one I seen had a lot of space behind the dryers. This one's just like 20 inches. Yeah. You know, you start learning about the room you need and stuff by seeing how the layouts are too.
Yeah.
And gives you future ideas.
Yeah, that's awesome. Real quick, I mean, this might be relevant to the pro tips here for people trying to buy their first. Did you get a loan to purchase the laundromat, or did you just buy it cash?
So I actually, I guess I got a loan of myself. I took a loan from my 401k.
Okay.
So I loaned myself some money.
Awesome. And then,
but I got a loan for the remodeling part.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. For the retool and the remodeling, you got a loan for that. Awesome. Dude, way to utilize the resources you have. There's a lot of different ways to finance these things, you know, and the money becomes the biggest barrier for a lot of people, where they're just like, I don't have money in my bank account, or I don't have enough money in my bank account. And then that's kind of end of story. But there's a lot of different ways that you can.
I was having crazy creative ideas, and I'll throw this out there and somebody can make it work. And I was trying to get people like, hey, invest to get money. Like I was thinking of like invest in one of these washers. So say this washer's five, you invest and you don't have to loan the laundromat. You buy this washer. I was trying to get somebody. And if these are all 40s, whatever the average of the 40s revenue is, because I can track that, you would get a share of revenue of this washer as long as this washer is here, because you bought this washer, you know?
Like
so that. It's like you could get a group of people to invest in auto laundry. It's almost like you own your own little washer.
Yeah. Kind of crowdfunding the laundromat by having
people yes.
in their own.
So.
I like it.
So if anybody wants in some of that crazy deal, let me know.
Maybe you and me need to talk a little bit more, and maybe we can put some together here and see if anybody else is interested in doing that. I like it. That's the thing, right? It's like you're only limited by your own creativity and your own effort and energy that you put into this thing, right? You don't come up with an idea like that if just out of the blue, right? You come up with an idea like that because you've been doing all this research. You have this desire to get a laundromat. And you're like, okay, well, what can I do to make this happen? Right. And so that's what generates these ideas. So I think that's great. And, you know, reach out if you're interested in something like that. Maybe Jose and I will put something together.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. We got another segment, and you already have the S at the end of your, you know, at the end of your domain name. So you're ready to go for the next one. I like it.
That's what I was saying. We can do and the whole thing is what I feel like partnering up is a good thing with somebody. If somebody could work together, and I don't know why sometimes people are, I know partnerships can be tough, but you know, you get better deals when you already own one. Yep. You know, even like seen like the financing, you could get 6 months. So if you're bringing in somebody who owns a laundromat already, and hey, we can now get 6 months no payments because I technically own a laundromat already.
Yep.
You know, so it's just different tactics that you can use that I can feel that are out there when you're a new owner that you can't get because, hey, you don't own a laundromat. So we're not going to give you the 6 months for free. I've seen 6 months no payment and then 6 month interest only. So you have that year with a lower cost to build up your customers.
Yeah. Yeah. I've said that before. a lot of doors open up, both in the financing and also in finding deals. Those doors open up as soon as you own. And I've shared the story. My first laundromat was a disaster early on, and I lost a lot of money and all that stuff. But even still, you know, I kind of half joke, may have been the truth, but I like to think it's a half joke that I was like the world's worst laundromat owner there for a little while. But even being the world's worst laundromat owner, I still got the best financing terms, and I still got a seller finance deal in LA with laundromat and property that was brought to me, right? So just getting that foot in the door. I'm not advocating being a bad owner, and you don't have to be anymore because you got guys like Jose coming on telling you how it's done. But getting that foot in the door opens opportunities, man. It does open opportunities. And Jose, I wouldn't be surprised if you start seeing more deals become available to you now that you own one and you're doing a good job with it. So we have got another segment of the podcast. It's our almost the last one here. Recommended resources. You got any, you've been dropping resources this whole thing. Anything else you want to add to the list of books and stuff that you've already mentioned for recommended resources?
I mean, you know, obviously you got the laundromat resource, laundromat. Your son's radio station, which was off the other day. I sometimes rerun, what's going on. Yes. I put it on and like loop it because just to pick up new details of something I might have missed, because that's all like I do that with books too. I re-listen to them because you learn different things because you're always trying to multitask, whether you get a phone call or something like that. You know, a cool thing about doing the mastermind with that I got through Laundromat Resource is like, sometimes you find out stuff that like, oh my God, I'm so overpaid. And I know you're a big advocate about the equipment thing. And that is one thing I wish I want to sign your petition on that, you know, and sharing that information for sure. You know, because talking to one of the guys in the group, I have an auto lock system. And then the one he got was like 300 less than what I paid. Mm-hmm. And it does four doors. I'm like, man, I got so ripped off on my auto lock system. And his, you could program to the laptop. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, I had to program mine by like a little timer. And I still can't even program my key entry. That's why I haven't even started using it. I'm like, maybe I could buy the little motherboard, whatever it's called, to do that. But, you know, being in a group like that, it's kind of like, I see how the benefits of some of these masterminds are because, you know, we in our little group, we have somebody who doesn't own a laundromat, but they do wash and fold. One guy has three laundromats and the other guy has, I think, two. So networking is such a good thing. And reach out to the people out there. You know, I've reached out to, before I feel like Waleed has really blown up now. He had talked to me before, like 45 minutes on the phone, you know, when I was trying to start just the wash and fold without having a laundromat. So reach out. There's people who are willing to answer emails. So I've reached out to a couple other guys that have answered emails. Some things they don't want to answer, and that's great. So what's a big thing about getting a no? So sometimes you don't get all yeses. You just keep moving on.
I think that was probably the best recommended resources we've had. I mean, I think, you know, that about, and just so anybody who doesn't know what you're talking about for the mastermind group. So in the pro coming with the pro community, you actually can join a mastermind group of other either laundromat owners or future laundromat owners, people trying to buy their first ones. And what that looks like is it's a small group of people that meet together regularly, same interests, and help each other out, right? Hold each other accountable, help problem solve together, help encourage each other. This can be, you know, this can be an emotional roller coaster here in terms of, you know, being an entrepreneur, being a business owner. You know, things can go really well for a while and then things can go really bad for a while. And having other people who understand that, super valuable. Right. And sharing information, all that stuff. So that's what he's talking about for the mastermind groups. But I mean, I love the networking side of things that you were talking about, which is great. And I love the fact that you're saying, you know, hey, reach out to some of these people. A lot of these people who've come on the podcast have left almost all of them have left contact information for you to reach out to them, to ask them questions. And they genuinely, the reason nobody's getting paid to come on this podcast, including me.
What do you mean? Paid. Just kidding.
I didn't tell them that till now. Just kidding. It's already done and over. But they're coming on because they want to help. They want to help the industry. They want to help each other. They want to help you. And so I just love that. But it also kind of digs your own grave. So if people want to get in contact with you and want to ask you questions, listen, you said they should do it. So what's the best way to get a hold of you?
So they could just email me, my last name, Andino, A-N-D-I-N-O, at Gmail.
Awesome. And I'll have that in the show notes. And if you're on YouTube, that'll be down below in the description. Jose, man, this has been an awesome episode, like a lot of fun for me to have you on. I know it was a little bit of a chore for you because you're on a trip and all that stuff, but dude, I genuinely appreciate you coming on and sharing so much stuff. This is really awesome.
No, I mean, honestly, like resources like this and Splash them out, you know, Wally, Dave Mentz, all these Williford brothers, so many that been on your podcast. You know, you learn a little bit from everybody. Just, you know, some things might not work out in your laundromat. You know, I'm just whatever. It's really my third month, but you just keep trying different things. It's just you can keep adjusting. There's nothing that you can try that you have to stick with, whether it's pricing or promotion or a service. Once you do it, you're not locked into that. You could just adjust.
Killer stuff, man. Super good. Really genuinely appreciate you and appreciate you coming on. Cannot wait. I mean, we're going to have you back on, you know, for when that laundromat gets profitable, but when that domain name comes true and you get your S laundromat, that's what I'm going to call your next one, by the way, your next laundromat. I'm going to call it your S laundromat. But we're definitely going to have you back on and hear how things are going, because again, we're catching you really early on in your journey, and you've got a lot of good stuff ahead of you here. I'm 100% confident of that, just based on how you're operating now and all the things you shared today and who you are too. I mean, just a genuine dude. So appreciate you coming.
And, I mean, the other advice is, like, you know, I just want to like thank, like, you know, sometimes you even need the support. You need the support of your family. And, you know, whether it's my, you know, my daughter's in Florida, my sister helped me out with that. My in-laws helped me with my kids around here while, you know, my son, you know, I don't know, East Coast, over here in the East Coast, you know, hockey's a big sport. Me and my wife are here. My in-laws are taking them to practice while we were working on the laundromat, or on Saturdays, he has a game. And sometimes you have to do some sacrifice. Me and my wife are here. She's working. We might have missed a game here and there while getting this started. But, you know, it's just sometimes some sacrifices you have to do to get to your goals. And it's nice to have family that can support you in doing that too.
I love that. I mean, it's a team effort, right? Like, this is not something that you're doing on your own. Even if you were the only one working in the laundromat, there's a team effort going on to make this dream happen. So love it. Last question. I mean, I've said that a couple times now, but what's the dream for you? What's the goal? I'm just kind of curious as we close this thing out, what's the goal? Or you have like a, I mean, obviously the dream right now is getting the money with this laundromat.
Yeah.
But do you have any longer term kind of dreams in this industry at all or no?
No, it's just like, you know, I joke with my wife and be like, you know, there's another one already for sale here. It's like, it doesn't seem like a bad deal. She's like, yeah, let's get this one in the green, like, first. I'm like, man, but this is really like,
it's here now. Yeah.
No, I even though my wife loves her job, she works at an airport. It was like sort of like one of her dreams. I'm surprised she never went to school to be a travel agent. She loves to do. If it's somebody, I know you next at Disneyland. If somebody needs to like need a guide for like Disney World in Florida, I can negotiate my wife to be a tour guide, because she's a Disney expert down there. So she loves traveling, stuff like that. So be nice to replace, even just to start off and replace her income eventually. It would be good, you know, and then we can just keep building. I honestly, I like interacting with the people at the laundromat. So I could definitely see myself getting another one for sure.
Love to hear it, man. All right, man. I'm going to let you go because I know you're on a trip, but I appreciate you again and can't wait to have you back on. It'll be great.
All right. No, thank you.
All right. Hope you loved that interview with Jose. I hope you got inspired in your laundromat journey and maybe even inspired to join a mastermind group. Remember to check that out. April 10th is when it's happening. And so head over to the pro community and join us over there. It's basically pays for itself. You utilize one of our industry discounts, every single one of them on their own pays for themselves. So it only makes sense to do that because you get access to the mastermind groups and everything else that comes with it. So check it out, laundromatresource.com/pro. We'll see you over there. And listen, I say this every single week and I'm like, man, should I stop saying this? Because it gets old. Pick something, put it into action. This week, those actions were going to help you achieve your goals. And I decided I'm going to keep saying it because I've heard from a lot of you guys, oh, you're always saying put stuff into action. So here's what I did. So put something into action and then maybe head over to laundromatresource.com/forums and share what you're actually putting into action. We'll help hold you accountable. We'll give you some encouragement and any resources we have that can help you in that journey. We'll pass them your way too. All right. We'll see you next week. Peace.